good to be with you again this evening. I hope that something I've prepared to speak to you about this evening will be beneficial to you in some way, and that we can all be uplifted and strengthened by our time here this evening. You know, there's many times, but especially around the end of the year and the start of a new year, that it feels like we're asked to give to a charity or cause of some kind. We're asked to give, and there's constant requests from a variety of sources that all claim they're doing some great thing of some sort. And there's the bell ringers at the entrances of stores that we see all the time. There are people trying to raise money for Christmas gifts for kids in less privileged areas. There are constant calls to help your fellow man. And often there's so many requests that I tend to get a little calloused at the calls on my help. Get a little callous to wanting to do anything because there's so many requests. But I want to talk this evening about being generous. There's a story in Exodus chapter 35 and 36 that caught my attention the other day. I was reading through, and in the context of what is going on in this scenario, it seemed rather strange. Moses has gone up onto Mount Sinai to collect the law from God. And he comes down and he finds the golden calf that Aaron has made with the children of Israel, and he destroys it, and he goes back up and he gets the law again. And he comes back down and he starts telling the people about, this is what we're supposed to do, and this is the way that the tabernacle is supposed to be built. And in Exodus chapter 35 and 36, the people respond to this call because he requests of them to bring materials to be able to build this tabernacle. And the people respond to the call, and I want to look at Exodus chapter 35, verses 20 through 23, and then we'll skip down to chapter 36, verses 2 through 7. Starting in Exodus chapter 35, verse 20, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins, brought them." And then if we skip on down to chapter 36 and verse 2, it says, "Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought, for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do.' So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, 'Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary.' And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much." And it struck me as strange. The people go from this point of, we're going to turn against the Lord, and not too long after they're saying, well, we're going to bring more than enough. They brought so much that they had to be told to stop. And it made me wonder, even when we are most invested in the service of God, even when we are so, when we feel it is so important to serve the Lord, do we ever give that much? Are we giving so greatly to the work of the kingdom? Are we giving so greatly to the work of God that it could ever be said, even for a moment, that we were giving too much? I want to look at the way that we give and the need to give greatly to the work of the kingdom. Because I think often we stop at what we consider, maybe we've done enough. We've done our part for today. We've read our chapter for the day. We've prayed at our meals. We maybe spent another 10 minutes praying to God in the evening just to make sure that we're on the right page. And yet, so often, that's where we stop. And we don't give greatly to God. We don't give greatly to the service that we are supposed to be giving. You know, politicians and other public figures, when something goes wrong, they're often a whole lot more willing to give to something because they try they're trying to cover up. They're trying to make it seem like it's not as bad what they did. And when it comes to the work of the kingdom, and when it comes to our lives, you know, sometimes I think that to some extent we're feeling that way. We feel like we have to give back because we've messed up. We have to give of some sort because we've done something wrong. But God gave us everything that we need before we realized that we had a problem. I want to look at another example in the Old Testament of those who gave greatly for the work of the Lord's people and for the service of God. And that's when David requested materials for the temple. You know, there's a lot of things that we have been blessed with in this life. We live in a nation that most of us have way beyond what we really need to survive. And there's a reason, there's a lot of things that we can do with those things for the work of the church. In Chronicles chapter 29, verses 7 through 9, this is a similar situation to when Moses requested the materials for the tabernacle. David, preparing for Solomon to be able to build the temple, requests of the people to bring of their wealth to him for that purpose. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Then gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly." When it comes to giving to the work of the church, when it comes to giving of our supplies, no matter what it is, do we give greatly? The people rejoiced for because they had given to the work building the temple, of building this house of God. They rejoiced because they willingly gave. And Paul commanded in 1 Corinthians that we as the church should continuously collect to make sure that the church can continue functioning and so that we can continue to spread the borders of God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gifts to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." I think a lot of times we stick to, or at least I know I kind of stick to the, well, I'll give that 10%, or I'll stick to that tithe kind of idea. But that's not what Paul requested. He said, give as you prospered. Lay something aside. Make sure that the work of the church can continue. Are we giving willingly? Are we giving to make sure that the kingdom of God can continue? Because that's the work that we're looking towards. We're trying to make sure that the borders of the kingdom can be spread, that others can find the same love and freedom in God that we have. That's what all of this goes to. That's how this works. That's how the church is funded. That's how the evangelists have the funds they need. Are we giving willingly? Are we generous in our offerings? But not only do we need to give of our means for the work of the church, we also need to give for the health and the safety of our brethren and of others in our communities. In James chapter 1, verse 27, he talks about giving in order to take care of the widows and orphans. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Now, this kind of points to part that I want to go into a little bit more later, but we can give of more than just the stuff that we have. We can give of more than just the material means that we have obtained. But he says to take care of the widows and orphans in their trouble or in their affliction is pure and undefiled religion. To take care of them. In Acts chapter 11, we see a response from the Christians throughout the church to the needs of the area of Judea. In Acts chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, "Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." You know, there's a lot of times that we hear of something that's going on that's a trouble for another congregation or for our brethren in another, even in another country. And we're requested to help out with that. And do we give with a generous heart? Are we generously giving to the needs of our brethren? And even if it's not something that extreme that's mentioned from in the announcements or something along those lines, even if it's not something that's as big and noticed, are we giving to the needs of each other and strengthening each other, even if that's through monetary means, to make sure that we can all stay as focused as we can on the path of righteousness? In Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it kind of narrows the scope of where we are supposed to be pointing our generosity. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And it doesn't say to exclusively focus on Christians, but it says especially. Do everything that we can to take care of each other. Do everything we can to take care of other Christians first. And then take care of those out in the world, because who knows? By helping someone out there, you may be able to bring them and save their soul as well. And I think all of this comes down to we need to live in a generous way. There's several places throughout Scripture where it talks about the fact that, you know, the things that we have in this world are temporary. They're really fairly meaningless. And so we need to do everything we can to live in a way that is generous, that helps others out, that takes care of the things that we see that takes care of things that we see as a need. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, we often refer to this as the story of the widow's mite. And Jesus is sitting in the temple and he sees all these people that are bringing great amounts to the treasury. And then he sees this one widow who came and as it says in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, starting in verse 42, it says, "Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" She was living a generous life. She gave of everything that she had. And Jesus calls this to the attention of his disciples. You know, when you take of something, when you take of the great riches that you have and you give a portion of it, it doesn't, most of the time, it doesn't really give, put much of a dent in what you've got. But if you're throwing in everything that you have, you're giving above and beyond what you really can afford. But that's the life that Christ calls into his disciples' attention, is to pay attention to this person who gave of everything. They gave fully. They gave more than really they needed to. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 40, we see another woman who was greatly loved by her community because of her generosity and her care for those around her. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 40, it says that Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise," and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. This woman was someone who lived a generous life. She took care of those around her. She gave, tunics and garments. She gave people clothes that she had made to make sure that they didn't go without. And this is what she was remembered for. This is what people came and said, you know, they come weeping, holding these things, saying, "This woman gave this to me." That is a generous life. That is living with a focus on generosity. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 20, Paul talks about the Philippians giving to his necessity time and again. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 20, it says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul calls this to the Philippians' attention. He says, "Thank you so much for sending all that you have. Even when I was in Thessalonica, even when I was in another place, where there was a church that could have probably been helping with the work that I was doing, you sent to help me out. You sent to give me enough to continue on." And he praises them for that. And he says that he seeks the fruits that abound to their account. He says, "I didn't need necessarily what you sent, but I see the fruit. I see the fact that you're interested in the work. I see that you are focused on making sure that the work happens." But beyond all of these, I want to look in Acts chapter 2. I want to look at what the early church did with regards to generosity. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, it says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." People sold what they had to care for each other. People sold their possessions and their goods. They cared enough for each other that they gave up what they had. They gave up possibly their life savings, basically. They gave that up to be able to take care of each other, to strengthen their brethren, to make sure that they were all able to serve the Lord and able to live, even if in simplicity, well. Now, on top of giving of our means and of our monetary things, we also are to give of ourselves, of the time, the work, the availability, the knowledge that we have. We're also supposed to give of that to each other. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 15, Paul talks about his work in Corinth and the amount of time and the amount of effort that he spent in giving of himself to Corinth. And Paul spent himself in many ways. And he went through many places spreading the borders of God's kingdom. He spent a lot of his time and effort in serving and in being generous with himself. But I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. It says, "Now for the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." And this is where Paul is talking to them about the struggles that he's having with their opinions of him. And he says, it doesn't matter what you think of me. I'm going to spend what I have and I'm going to be spent to take care of you and to make sure that you are right with God. We see many examples of those who Paul talks about at the ends of his letters who gave of themselves, of their time, of their, and even many of their lives just to keep the gospel being spread. We see Stephen and the other first deacons in the first part of Acts that all go through and they're doing everything they can. They are set to take care of others. They're set to spend of themselves to take care of others. And Stephen himself preaches until the people stone him to death because he was trying to teach them what was right. But it doesn't just come from spending of ourselves and of our time. It also takes us spending in taking care of each other and making sure that each other are healthy and safe in the Word and in our knowledge of God's Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks to the Corinthians about the meat sacrificed to idols. And he talks to them about making sure that they are not putting a stumbling block in front of each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, 'This was offered to idols,' do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." This is a generous lifestyle. To think about other people so much that you are considering their conscience above your own. that you are considering their stumbling blocks, their troubles, that you're being generous in allowing, in letting some things go to be able to make sure that they are safe. Paul says it doesn't matter whether something is sacrificed to an idol or not. It shouldn't be a problem. But if someone thinks that you're eating of it because it was even though it was sacrificed to an idol, and they think that you're worshiping that idol because of it, you shouldn't. This is a way of being generous, not with our means, but with our life, with our time, with our efforts, with our knowledge. And another way that we can be generous with our knowledge is just by teaching the word. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, we read of where Aquila and Priscilla teach Apollos. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." You know, this man didn't have the full answers. He didn't have the full information. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and told him, "This is what you're missing." This is something that we can also be generous in, is in our knowledge. We can help each other to grow in our knowledge, to grow in our strength, to grow in our understanding of the Word of God by teaching each other, by studying together, by making sure that we are all on the right path. I'm going to go through a few more examples here of kind of explaining that living in a generous way and living in a generous life, especially with regards to giving of ourselves. I want to look first at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul is talking to the Romans about the sacrifice of Christ. And it says, starting verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ as a Savior, Christ as the man on this earth, the Son of God, came and gave his life for us. There's not a whole lot out of humanity that really seems worth it if you really look at it from what how sinful and how destitute the world is in many ways. And yet the Son of God came from heaven and gave his life so that we could be saved, and so that we could give our lives in service to him, to bring others to him, to give others a chance to have that salvation through him. I want to look at one last example in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, Paul talking about his efforts and his service in the kingdom. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Out of all the human beings that I've ever read about, I've ever really paid attention to, Paul seems like a man who gave, he lived a generous life. He lived a life of service. He lived a life that in all ways gave of himself to help others. He talks about all these things that he went through, of all the struggles that he went through. And then he ends with that which comes upon him daily, the care of all the churches. He wanted to spread the word. He wanted to spread the borders of the kingdom. And this evening I ask, are we being generous with the knowledge that we have? Are we being generous with the things that we have? Are we generously spreading the knowledge of God's word? Are we being generous with that? Are we giving of it to others so that they too can have that opportunity to be saved? You know, the people in Exodus chapter 36 were restrained from bringing. They were restrained from bringing anything else because they brought too much. We can never bring too much to the throne of God. And we can never bring too many to the kingdom. There's never enough. The fields are white to harvest. And this evening, if you're struggling with your service to God, or if you are not a Christian and you would like to become a Christian this evening, if you'd like the help of the church in any spiritual way this evening, we ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.